All Christians are hypocrites. I'm sure that's an objection that you are familiar with. Undoubtedly, it's one of the most weaponized objections deployed against Christianity in modern culture. It's probably true to say that we live in a cynical and unforgiving age that takes positive delight in exposing hypocrisy, particularly in those who are in some way identified with the moral high ground. From the man in the pub to the lecturer in the university, and everywhere in between, we hear the objection that Christianity can be dismissed, can't be taken seriously, and all you have to do if you want to be confirmed in that conclusion is just look at its adherents. To quote Christopher Hitchens in his swipe against all religious belief, it is the actions of religious followers that, quote, is the single greatest proof that there is no God. What can be said in response to that objection? What can be said by way of defense in meeting that accusation? Well, I'm going to suggest four things. And after we've done that, we'll then think about maybe some questions that we could be asking the person citing that objection. But it's important to be honest and to speak truthfully in response to that objection. So here's what I would say we should try to establish with someone who says, all Christians are hypocrites. First thing I would say is this. Appeal for moderation in language. I think the terminology needs to be tidied up a bit. In fact, every word in that statement needs qualification. Does the person making that objection really mean all Christians? Every single Christian lives in such a way that their life is inconsistent with what they believe. For that's what a hypocrite is. Is there not a great danger in speaking of people in this way? I mean, are we happy with statements like, all Muslims are terrorists. All refugees are criminals. All football supporters are hooligans. All lawyers are sharks. Sorry, that was a bad example. But, you know, trying to be real and honest, it's hard to imagine someone not conceding that speaking of people in that way, it's unfair because it overgeneralizes. Also, all Christians are hypocrites. What, all the time? That's what defines them? That's the full story? That is all that can and ought be said about them. Would the objector not admit that it's only fair to allow for some distinction between an action and a character? Is the footballer who deliberately trips an opponent two or three times in a career spanning 15 years, is he a dirty player? Would that be a fair and accurate description of his footballing career? I'm not excusing foul play, but I think it makes the point that we know there is a difference between an occasional lapse and habitual activity, which reveals character, creates an identity, and earns a reputation. What I am suggesting is that a more truthful and, in fact, a weightier objection to Christianity is that some Christians are hypocritical some of the time. I think that objection deserves a serious response, for it reflects reality, and it's not overstatement. Overstatement always weakens an argument. So the first thing I would do, if somebody was citing that as an objection, I would say, look, could I appeal for some moderation in language? Second thing, clarify who the objector considers a Christian to be. Now, this is not a get-out-of-jail-free card, but not everyone who is identified with Christianity, not everyone who claims to be a Christian, is in fact a Christian. And this may help refine the objection further. A Christian is not someone who is born into a Christian country. For the simple reason is there are no Christian countries. It is not someone who is born into the church or who was baptized as an infant. It is not someone who attends church or whose name is on a church register. It is not someone who is working for acceptance with God through performing good deeds and religious observances. It is not someone who reads the Bible, who prays, and who gives money to the church. It is not someone who thinks that Jesus is a great, noble character who said some powerful things and who provided an inspirational example. A Christian is not someone who tries to be a good neighbor or a law-abiding citizen. We must insist that we work with the definition of a Christian given in the Bible. A Christian is someone who has repented of their sin, facing up to who and what they are, someone who has placed their faith in Jesus and his work on the cross for their forgiveness, and is someone who has signed up to living under the Lordship of Christ in all of life. It is simply unfair to condemn one group of people for the actions of another who are wrongly identified with them. Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 23, must be taken seriously. Jesus said this: "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.' we must have a category for people who claim relationship with Christ, but who in reality are not in relationship with him. Jesus established that category. Again, this may have the effect of diluting some of the force of the objection by refining it further. It is not our role to act as apologists for non-Christians who have committed non-Christian activity. But let me also say again, this is not an attempt to sidestep the issue. A valid objection still stands. Genuine Christians are often found guilty of hypocrisy, and that needs to be faced honestly. Number one, appeal for moderation in language. Secondly, clarify who the objector considers a Christian to be. Thirdly, acknowledge the legitimacy of the objector's sense of outrage. All hypocrisy is horrible, and religious hypocrisy is particularly distasteful. The objector is not alone in his or her sense of abhorrence at and condemnation of hypocrisy. God got there first. It is the Bible that sets the standard against which hypocrisy is shown for the evil that it is. Christianity agrees that hypocrisy is an evil to be exposed. The consistent drumbeat of the Old Testament prophets was that Israel's hypocritical worship made God sick. That's actually in the Bible. God says, I found the smell of their sacrifices nauseating. They turned his stomach as the people went through the religious rituals and neglected matters of mercy and justice. Again and again, God, through his prophets, condemned people who worshipped him with their lips, but whose hearts were far from him and whose lives were clearly out of sync with his will for them. And then along came Jesus, God in the flesh. Have you read what Jesus said about hypocrites? Matthew chapter 23 contains arguably the most withering words of judgment in the entire Bible. Jesus repeatedly called the religious rulers hypocrites. And then he fleshed that out. He called them blind guides, fools. He called them tombs full of dead men's bones. He called them snakes and a brood of vipers. I think we know where Jesus stands on the issue of hypocrisy. And the New Testament, the Old Testament prophets, Jesus himself, then the New Testament, is full of instruction for Christians to be free of hypocrisy and to deal with it wherever it surfaces among them. There's actually no better example than that found in Galatians chapter 2, where Paul describes how he publicly confronted the Apostle Peter for his hypocritical actions. Peter sat at table fellowship with Gentile background believers, but when some Jewish background believers came down from Jerusalem, Peter withdrew, and Paul stood up in front of the church and said, "That's hypocritical. That's inconsistent. There is no way we can act like that." There is no hiding place for hypocrisy in the Bible. God hates it. Jesus condemned it. And Christians are called to challenge it. The charge that Christians can and do act in hypocritical ways is a valid one. But admitting that this is the case does not legitimize the rejection of Christianity, for it is Christianity itself which attacks it. As we shall see, the Christian has no desire to deny the reality of hypocrisy in their life. They know it's true, but they do want to tell you where they, and indeed you, can go with it. Appeal for moderation in language. Clarify who the objector considers a Christian to be. Acknowledge the legitimacy of the objector's sense of outrage. And fourthly, by way of defense, explain the inevitability of Christians being outed for hypocrisy. There's no such a thing as a Christian who's totally free of hypocrisy. For two reasons. Number one, Christians are sinners. Hypocrisy is part of the human condition. We love to appear better than we are. We will advantage ourselves both at the expense of others and at the expense of truth. We will justify ourselves. We will not uphold the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. We want to uphold that all the time. I could continue, but I hardly think it is necessary. As sinners, we suffer from an integrity deficit. No true Christian will argue with that. That's why Christians are outed for hypocrisy. They're sinners. And secondly, Christians are held to universally applicable and publicly known standards. At all times, Christians are called upon to act in conformity with the perfect moral character of God. Nothing short of that. All of the time. And not only so, but they're to declare that this is the standard of behavior that they're to adhere to, that's totally binding on them. They've got to publicly declare that. There's no hiding place for the Christian. The standard to which they are held and against which they are judged is not some private, personal, subjective, flexible morality, but one that is public, universal, objective, and unyielding. What would Jesus do? It's not just a once trendy wristband. That is the standard for the Christian every minute of every day, of every week of their life. What would Jesus do? Christians know in advance they're going to miss the target. The presence of failure in the life of a Christian is not an argument against Christianity. It is rather an evidence of the truth of it. The real issue is how a Christian deals with, how a Christian responds to failure. And the great thing for the Christian is this: they have somewhere to go with their failure. They can take the hit to their sense of self-righteousness, for they're not trusting in it anymore. They can experience forgiveness in their failure, which they own and confess. And they can draw on the resources they have available to them in Christ as they move forward from their failure. So, we've heard the objection, all Christians are hypocrites. I think that's something that we could fairly say in response. But I don't think we should let the objector off the hook at that point. I would want to ask the objector three questions. First one is this: is your charge of hypocrisy essentially hypocritical? Jesus warned sinners to be careful when it came to condemning sin in others. We have a distinct knack for being blind to our own failings. Let him who is without sin be the first to cast the stone. Remove the beam from your own eye before you take out the speck from your brother's eye. Remember that with the measure that you measure others, you'll be measured yourself. Does the objection, all Christians are hypocrites, not sound uncomfortably close to the self-righteous Pharisee who prayed, "I thank you, God, that I'm not like the rest of men. I belong in a separate category"? Sinners tend to get altitude sickness when they climb onto their high moral horse, and they usually end up falling from that lofty perch. They were merely squatting on a standard that they had no real right to occupy. Good for you if you can identify moral inconsistency in others, if you have a super sensitive hypocrisy detector. But, physician, heal thyself. Don't stop until you have located and condemned hypocrisy wherever it is to be found. For wouldn't it be hypocritical to be quick to condemn in others what you choose to overlook in yourself? Is your charge of hypocrisy essentially hypocritical? Secondly, second question: is your charge of hypocrisy merely convenient? And I think the best way for me to get this point across is to share with you a little personal anecdote from when I was 18 years of age and I was just starting to find my feet as a Christian. I had a hospital appointment And it was back in the good old days when you only had to sit for 3 or 4 hours to see a doctor. It was an eye problem. And I knew what I was in for. I knew there was going to be a long wait in the hospital. And so in the interest of trying not to draw attention to myself, but I knew I was going to be waiting, I brought my little Gideon New Testament Bible, wee small thing. And I said, I'm going to read the letter to Romans. Read it through because I'll be sitting. And that's what I did. And I arrived for the appointment and the consultant's door was there. And there was just a corridor with a row of seats on one side and a row of seats facing it on the other. And I was merrily reading Paul's letter to the Romans and enjoying it enormously. The rule was a bit like a lift. Nobody spoke. Everyone just sat. But I had beside me an old dear who I saw her 2 or 3 times, you know, sort of trying to get my attention, you know, very deliberately looking at what I was doing. And she eventually spoke up. And due to advanced years, she spoke at a volume that was significant. So nobody was missing it. And she said this, said, son, it's lovely to see you reading your Bible. So I knew that, you know, you were on display. And I said, yes, I'm reading Paul's letter to the Romans where he's explaining the good news of Jesus. And then I said, tell me, would you be a Christian yourself? Well, without exaggeration, the lady spoke for several minutes. Now, you've got to imagine maybe 15 people are just sitting, watching this spectacle. And to boil it down to the bones, she had a neighbor who lived facing her, who, as I've said elsewhere, she had a big Bible and obviously an even bigger mouth. And this lady systematically listed the faults of this neighbor across the road. And after some minutes, I'm on record as saying to this day, I don't know how much of it was the leading of the Holy Spirit and how much of it was just rage. But I said to the lady, I said, and aren't you so glad that neighbor lives across the road? For every time someone invites you to think about Jesus Christ, you go, would you stand between me and this Jesus? And all I can see is your faults, and it blots him out completely. Now, remember, this is a public thing. And if it was quiet up to that point, it was pin-dropping stuff. And I have to say, in fairness to the old dear, after a moment of reflection, she just said, son, I suppose you're right. And I had, at that point, the most wonderful opportunity to go forward and say, you know, Jesus came for the sick, the sinful, for those who owned their problem, and everyone got to listen for free. Could it be, I would want to say this to an objector who wants to tell us that all Christians are hypocrites. Could it be that the failure and hypocrisy of Christians is something that you find rather useful? For it keeps you from engaging with the claims of Christ over you. And if you want to try the charge of hypocrisy on Jesus himself, good luck with that. So be honest with yourself. Is your objection an all too convenient smokescreen for your attempt to avoid accountability to the Savior? I would want to ask that question. Is your charge of hypocrisy essentially hypocritical? Is your charge of hypocrisy merely convenient? And thirdly and finally, is your charge of hypocrisy ultimately damaging? I think the best response to the statement that the church is full of hypocrites is this: don't you worry, there's room for one more. You see, Christians do not defend hypocrisy, but they do have good news for hypocrites. For people who are prepared to own up to the fact that they don't even meet their own standards, never mind God's, the gospel says there's hope. We're not good enough. We haven't got a clean record. We're not whiter than white. We need divine assistance. We need divine forgiveness. We need divine strength. And God is prepared to give us all of this in Jesus freely. But for those who attempt to maintain the illusion of righteousness, there is no hope whatsoever. None. The Bible warns that the highway to hell is paved with pride. And surely, moral self-righteousness is among the greatest of Satan's tactics to keep sinful men and women away from the hope of the gospel. All Christians are hypocrites. Well, at one level, yes. None of us live up to the standards we know are required of us. Good news for you, we're not claiming we do. We're sinners saved by grace. But wouldn't it be great to be able to say this? All hypocrites are Christians. For then there would be hope. Because if we're being honest, you see, we're all hypocrites. How wonderful to be able to say, because of Jesus, I'm a saved hypocrite. And with Jesus' help, I'm working on my hypocrisy. And one day when Jesus comes or calls, I'm going to be free of my hypocrisy forever. That's the good news of Jesus. All Christians are hypocrites. How much better all hypocrites are Christians.